You're listening to Chemistry in Its Element, brought to you by Chemistry World, the magazine of the Royal Society of Chemistry.
Hello, beauty, blue glass, B12, and the best magnets that money can buy. So why is this week's element named after a goblin? Sarah Stanland.
I always find the question, what's your favourite element, a difficult one. There are several front runners for vastly varying reasons. However, always a top contender has to be cobalt, because it excels in several important character traits. Cobalt has amazing beauty and strength, as well as great cooperation. Altogether, a highly useful metal. Before I even thought about the chemistry of colour, I developed a love for blue glass, something I still collect to this day. Only after studying the transition metal chemistry did I realise that this beautiful blue colour comes from cobalt. Cobalt chloride, in fact. However, as far as colour goes, cobalt has a few more strings to its bow than just this wonderful blue. Cobalt can also colour glass green, while the hydrated form of cobalt chloride is a beautiful deep rose colour. As you can imagine, this colour change due to the presence of water is highly useful, warranting cobalt chloride an ideal moisture indicator. The array of beautiful colours that cobalt produces were never more prevalent to me than when I went to the cobalt mining region called the Copper Belt in Zambia. In this area, huge multicoloured cobalt mineral deposits towered high, with the shores of dams and streams coloured deep rose with silvery blue veins running through. Cobalt is not found pure in nature, but found in sulphur minerals and usually associated with other metals. As you can probably guess from the name of the region in Zambia, the Copper Belt, cobalt is mined in a secondary product to copper, that is the dominant ore in this region. Because of this, cobalt is normally recovered from the waste of the primary metal extract. However, these mining hotspots are not the only place on the earth where high concentrations of cobalt can be found. A huge reserve of several transition metals, including cobalt, can be found in strange nodules on the floors of the deepest oceans. These nodules are manganese minerals that take millions of years to form, and there are many tons of cobalt present in this form. So you can see that cobalt is never found alone, but always piled up with other transition metals in their ores, mainly copper and nickel. In fact, cobalt metal was not isolated and purified until as late as 1735 by a Swedish scientist called G. Brandt. Cobalt can also sometimes be found in mixed arsenic ores, and it is cobalt's association with arsenic that gives it its name. The word cobalt comes from the German kobolds, which means goblin or troublemaker. It was so called in this early mining region because it was very difficult to smelt without oxidising, and smelting would release the associated arsenic vapours, which would lead to pretty troublesome and even deadly processing conditions for the workers. The kobolds were blamed and the name stuck. With the exception of the mining region, cobalt is not very abundant, with only trace amounts in the Earth's crust, about 2,500 times less than iron. However, it is a metal that is essential for life in the trace amounts. Cobalt is a metal at the centre of vitamin B12, which helps regulate cell development and therefore DNA and energy production in the body. Cobalt has been known and used by people for its beautiful colour and pigment properties as far back as 2500 BC. Egyptian cobalt blue paints and Prussian blue cobalt oxide necklaces have been dated back to the time while cobalt glass has been found in Greek vases dating back 100 BC. Cobalt was also used to colour glass in the Chinese Tang Dynasty from 618 AD. In fact, all the way up until the beginning of the 20th century, people have only really exploited cobalt for its beautiful colour. However, cobalt is not just a pretty face. Cobalt is a lustrous, very hard, silvery metal belonging to a group called the transition metals. It is one of only three ferromagnetic transition elements, along with iron and nickel. As a metal, it is very mechanically hard and tough, and it has a very high melting point, hence the smelting problems, and also remains magnetic to the highest temperature of all the magnetic elements. When cobalt is combined with other metals, its strength allows a range of superalloys to be created. In particular, cobalt's very high melting point and mechanical strength at high temperatures has seen its extensive use in what is termed superalloys. These are alloys that retain mechanical strength at high temperatures. Because of its impressive properties, cobalt is an important component in wear-resistant and corrosive-resistant alloys. And cobalt alloys and coatings are seen everywhere from drills to saws, from aircraft turbines to prosthetic bone replacements. The fact that cobalt is magnetic has also been exploited with the Japanese invention of cobalt magnetic steel, where adding cobalt to steel vastly increases the magnetic hardness. Just a few years after that, in the 1930s, saw the pivotal invention of Alnico magnets, which, as the name suggests, are composed of aluminium, nickel and cobalt. The fact that cobalt retains its magnetism up to high temperatures is also a very favourable trait when the addition of cobalt to a magnetic material can improve its properties at high temperatures. More recently, the creation of rare earth magnets have given us much stronger, harder permanent magnets than Alnico magnets. One such magnetic material, samarium cobalt, retains its magnetism up to 800 degrees C. Because it is magnetically and mechanically hard up to very high temperatures, it has found uses in high-speed motors and turbine machinery. More recently, cobalt has a major use in newer batteries, magnetic particles for recording, and storage information in magnetic tapes and hard drives. So, cobalt, giving joy in an array of beautiful colours, but also ultra-strong, hard, and magnetic. Cobalt is never alone. It is found associated with different metals in their ore and has its best mechanical properties when piled up with others.
Emphasising the importance, of course, of teamwork. That was Sarah Staniland with the story of cobalt. She's based at the University of Leeds. Next week, it's the turn of the stuff that, amongst other things, makes Parker pen nibs write so nicely. But if you haven't heard of it before, then you're probably in good company.
Stop the proverbial man in the street and ask him what ruthenium is, and the chances are he won't be able to tell you. Compared to the sexier elements that are household names like carbon and oxygen, ruthenium is, frankly, a bit obscure. In fact, even if your man in the street was wearing a lab coat and walking on a street very close to a university chemistry department, he might still be a bit ignorant about this mysterious metal. It wasn't always that way, though.
And you can hear how ruthenium rose to prominence with Jonathan Steed on next week's Chemistry in Its Element. I'm Chris Smith, thank you for listening, and goodbye!
Chemistry in Its Element is brought to you by the Royal Society of Chemistry and produced by thenakedscientists.com. There's more information and other episodes of Chemistry in Its Element on our website at chemistryworld.org/elements.